Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Abigail, we don't turn on our microphones here. We turn our own microphones on here. We don't need you turning on these mics when I'm trying to show John some of the storylines from the show, the hit HBO show Industry.
Storyline is a odd term.
The hit HBO series Industry.
Let's move on from industry to NFL kickoffs. Mm-hmm. So after, okay, so NFL teams combined to return 22% of kickoffs and allow 73% to end in touchbacks in the 2023 regular season.
Yeah.
Three quarters of the plays were it was basically a non-play.
This is something that's really started happening over the last 6-7 years. Where the touchdown rate, the legs on kickers are pretty incredible. I'm aware of it more because of what I do with the draft stuff. Are you aware of how, I'm sure you are, how 50-yard, isn't this kind of crazy how many 50-yard field goals are just gimmies now?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are getting better when there's a lot of money out there to be had. Okay. Kyme Fairbairn made $16 million over the last 4 years, and he's making more now. So if you're good at something, you're going to get paid, and I think that would definitely lead a lot of people to try to do it. So this preseason, through two preseason games, 78% of kickoffs have been returned. 19% of kickoffs have ended in touchbacks. It's basically a reversal. And a complete reversal of what went on in the regular season. Now, there is this that's happening, though. It went from just 30%. Let's see, where is it? 30% in week one of balls hit into the end zone, which means it comes out to the 30. Uh-huh. The following in week two, it was 40%. Coaches are saying we're okay with taking the ball, giving them the ball at the 30, as opposed to.
You think that's what coaches are saying, or the kickers are having a hard time placing it? Because I don't think that statistically, I haven't seen guys return kicks very far. I would think you want to pop it as high as you can and just cover. I think maybe kickers are not
nearly
having a hard time.
2/3 of kickoffs have landed in the area between the 20-yard line and the goal line, known as the landing zone. There have been a handful of missed kicks that resulted in a penalty and the ball being spotted at the 40-yard line. 7 kickoffs have landed short of the 20, and 1 has gone out of bounds.
Because remember, in the week one with the Texans and Bears, the Hall of Fame game, there were kicks that would have barely landed inside or in the end zone that they just caught and ran out because they're trying to get a feel for that. So I don't think – I know from an analytics standpoint, taking the ball at the 30 is not going to be a great measure.
I was watching Commanders Dolphins, and the Dolphins have two guys in a competition, their punter and their kicker, for the job. And what they're doing is kind of a pseudo squib where they want the ball obviously on the fly landing in the 20 and then bouncing into the end zone so that the ball comes out to the 20.
Oh,
that's what they're working on. So they're trying to get the best of both worlds where they don't get penalized for a bad kick, but it still bounces into the end zone.
It's going to be interesting because what's going
to
happen
is... And that goes out to the 20.
Yes, if it hits in the landing zone and then goes in the end zone for a touchback, it comes out to the 20.
You're going to have a lot of teams... Right now is a perfect example of
Everyone's going to be messing around trying to find out what the best way, and then someone is going to find something that worked like that if they can figure out what, and then everyone's going to try to copy that.
Right.
Everyone will try to copy whatever the most efficient route is.
So Dawn Aponte is the league's chief administrator, said
she's awesome
Monday that it is unlikely the league will move the touchback further up to further disincentivize kickoffs and touchbacks.
Dawn Aponte, just so you know, she is considered, had she come up in a different time in the NFL, she may have been the first female general manager. Like, she is, or even the first female commissioner. Like, she's considered razor sharp. I don't know her age. I think, late 50s, early 60s, but she is, I know Scott Pioli was talking about her one time. We were at the Combine, and he's like, I don't know if you have any idea how influential she is. What a big time. She was with the Raiders.
She was with the Dolphins. She used to be their contract money person
until
she went to the NFL head office, but she used to do all their contracts for them.
Yeah. I think she may have come up with the Raiders and Al Davis, but she is considered, Dawn Aponte, when you mention her, just as a little bit of trivia here, she was well ahead of her time. Would have been a huge executive had she come up like now. She would have had much more opportunities.
Okay. She's actually, I guess she's pretty smart. I guess she was with the Chargers as well. She's been around the league, and now she's Now see, this is stuff that we
were show.
I'm trying to do a show, but here's the deal: is we're getting more action. We're getting a lot more action on the field. On the field.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot more action
is going on the field. It's actually a really, really, really good. It's a really good way to go about this. I know that, he's a bad person. He's showing stuff that's unfortunate for people that they have to watch that. You're assaulting with their eyes. Anyway, so just an FYI, we actually have a play now with a kickoff. Okay, Dell wants to. There's a lot of stuff that happens on that show. Oh yeah, she does. Did? Hip drop tackle.
Ugh. Everyone had a
hissy fit.
Everyone had.
And you know what? There's been no calls.
It's not going to be. The league said they're going to have to really, like, it's not going to be, everything's not going to be called. The idea that everything's going to be called, it's going to be called with the idea of intent or potential injury. They are not going to, like, there's a difference between tackling low and then swinging your weight forward to pull down. I didn't think it would be.
Oh, it could be.
You know, the thing that they never called, that supposedly they were going to call, that they almost never call now, because I think sometimes they'll have rules and they'll just be like, we ain't calling that.
Yeah.
Is running backs who lead with the helmet in a collision.
That never happens.
They never call.
Never happens, right. Right.
And yet that's in the rule book.
Right.
But they never call it because they know that that's not feasible.
Right.
You can't eliminate that.
The slow process of replay. Replay officials, two new aspects of the game can be whether a passer is down by contact or out of bounds before a throw, and if the game clock has expired before a snap. We haven't really seen that yet. But the game clock expiring before the snap may be something that will come up and bite somebody if you can review it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I could see that.
I could see that, too.
Look at what happened to Jordan Chiles.
What happened to Jordan?
Well, she got her medal taken away. You've only got a certain amount of time when it comes to reviews and time clocks and stuff like that.
Well, but this is, let's say there's a big play that happens and it was after the play clock expired. I could certainly see the opposing coach going, hey, no. We got to review that, and then that play taken away.
But you only have a certain amount of time that you can call for it, or Romania wins.
Yeah, that was a different sport.
We need to look at all sports.
Totally, totally different. But they got in with the...
That is a very specific rule, by the way. That's such a niche rule about the expiration of the play clock. And that, you know, that's kind of a niche little situation there.
Well, it's not going to happen. Plenty of that it's expired. Yes, but here's the thing: is it expired when it goes down to zeros, or because there's actually a controversy of whether or not when it goes to double zeros, if that's when the play clock expires, or
yeah,
if there is still time on.
So there's something I've heard this discussed on TV where it's not what we think, that as soon as it hits zero, like, yeah, it is. I think the league looks at the officials look at it different, because it seems like you see it all the time happen. That it expires, but I think the officials look at it differently. I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think it's basically the zero has to finish out. Well, how would you know if the zero finishes out? In other words, if you say one and then it clicks down to, I don't know. We'll see if it matters.
To me, it's the same as the quarterback being over the line of scrimmage if like his toe is still on the line.
That's one of the dumb. Can we talk about some of the dumbest rules? One of them is, I know you don't like some of the offside stuff that you see in, and that's an example, that's the exact opposite. So which one do you like? Offsides in soccer, where they get so precise that if your toe is passed, then that's offside. In the NFL, a quarterback's whole body can be basically across the line except for his heel on it.
I think the football should always be behind the line of scrimmage. If you're throwing it, the football should be. I obviously didn't play at this level, but I always thought that you had to be behind the line of scrimmage to throw the football. And you know what? You have a sense when you're a quarterback where the line of scrimmage is. You absolutely have that sense. If you don't have that sense, like Orlovsky running out of the end zone and throwing the ball, it was like, dude, really? You don't have any sense of where you are on the football field?
Daniel Jones just did that.
Yeah, I know.
Gave us a touchdown.
Thank you. So I think you should, the football needs to be out of your hand before you hit the line of scrimmage, but that's not the case. It's not the case. So, we'll see if any of these new rules come into play. The only one that has so far is the kickoff rule. 713-780-3776. If you guys want to get in here, Peter, he wants to talk about the kickoff rule. What do you say, Peter?
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
I just wanted to ask, I've been watching the preseason, and I like the rule, and I was thinking to myself, like, with the whole landing zone and all, I was wondering, and maybe it specifically has to be kickers, but it seems to me a punter would be better off, better equipped to put the ball high and in the landing zone instead of a kicker. Just y'all's thoughts.
I don't know that it's legal to kick off with a punter.
No, it's not.
It's not. You have to kick it off a tee.
Off the ground, yeah.
Off the ground.
I mean, if you could, then that's what everyone would do.
Yeah,
would
right.
Just hang it.
Well, but it doesn't matter hanging, because the play doesn't start until the ball hits.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
but right. Would it be easier for a punter to hit that 20-yard area?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so, because they're used to doing that from a pooch standpoint.
Right.
So, yes, I think it would be... I think it would. Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be a kick.
These guys are good enough to hit that 20-yard area, though.
No,
they were doing it in the XFL.
Yeah, they'll do it. It's just figuring out. They've just gone from blasting and trying to just get it, you know, into a touchback situation to now they've got to just change their drop angle. That's all. It's like taking a little bit off a pitching wedge.
Yeah.
If you don't want to hit a gap wedge, like taking a little bit off a 9-iron, you don't want to club down, so you just have to say, okay, I got to figure out how to hit 85% of this club. That's all they're doing.
That's it. That's all. Oh, yeah, they're not hitting.
They're going to figure it out where they can land it inside the 20, but you don't want to land it at the – you want to land it inside the 5.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going to try to do.
Yep. And they'll get really good at it. Time to talk about my bookie. You can bet on it. I don't know if you can bet on the kickoff per se, but I know you can bet on at my bookie. I heard Dell singing in one of these. It's the most wonderful time of the year, Dell.
Oh my god, that's right.
I know
right.
He's singing in a, and Dell is not a singer. Okay, that's just not him. So he's putting out there for my bookie. You need to too. Okay, you're putting out for him. You're putting it out there for him. Your singing voice, you're putting it out there for him, I think. So here's the deal. if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, you're looking for the best way to enjoy the football season, the football season is here. You know football. You love football. You, my friends, are going to benefit from MyBookie, who gives you a sign-up bonus, okay? But you need to get in soon. Because if you want to bet on the number of wins, 9.5 wins, or you want to bet on MVP races or rookie of the year races, whatever the case may be, there's one. You got to do it now. You got to go now. Otherwise, you're not going to get in time. If you start after the season starts, then sorry, you're too late. Here's the deal. MyBookie.ag's got all the bets you could possibly want. They got casino gambling. They got everything you could want at one place. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to get in here with us to hang out on the show. You're more than welcome. Our Astros win in walk-off fashion. It's Yiner Diaz Day today as he walks it off. Alex Bregman's sitting there watching, taking notes in the did you see that in the dugout? He's got a sweatshirt on and he's just taking notes. He said he wanted to play. Joe Espada said, "No, you're not playing." Not even sure that he'll play again today. Not sure he'll play again today. Could have used him when Whitcomb dropped that ground ball. Could have thought, "Well, Alex Bregman probably has that." Probably. Yeah. Takes care of that business. Never know, but probably takes care of that business. But apparently, he says he's better and wants to get out there. But Joe Espada said, "No, you're not ready yet."
You know what? We're all gonna thank him for that. We're gonna thank Joe Espada
for
not playing Yiner.
Yeah. Maybe
would that home run have even been possible by Yiner Diaz last year or yesterday without Dusty holding him back last year?
Well, it might have been
possible. Holding him back from a rookie of the year last year.
It might have been possible last year if he'd have put him in.
Yep.
Yep. Maybe we would have won another playoff game and gone to the World Series. Yeah, Never know, do we?
Well, he was playing?
No, he didn't.
Oh, man, that's right.
He didn't play at all.
It was like a battle just to get him into playoff games,
too. He didn't play in the playoff games. He didn't play at all in the Rangers series.
He didn't?
No, it was
all Machete?
Well, I'm pretty sure he started.
That guy's out of baseball.
Oh, he was awful.
Oh, my God.
Awful.
The Astros, like, how about that? We've got three guys who've been DFA'd over, you know, within 365 days. Abreu DFA'd, Montero DFA'd, and then a guy we had starting in the playoffs, Machete, is DFA'd. Yeah. Like, three players who were on your team last year are no longer in baseball.
Crazy. Yep. And pay them. And pay them, those men.
Those are some lyrics right there.
Yep. Pay those men their money. Kikuchi looked good. Caleb Ferguson looked good. He came in, struck out a couple. Taylor Scott came in, gave up the home run. Josh Hader has been really, really, really good. He gets the win now. He's 6-6 overall. His ERA is down to 3.36. He's got 27 straight saves, which is an Astros record. After a slow start, Josh Hader is back to being to what we thought he would be. And Presley, we haven't even talked about Presley being on the IR, IL. I don't want to say it's a good thing. I think it's much needed. He's getting a break right now. When he comes back, I assume he gets back right into his eighth inning role.
I assume.
Although I would really like to, wouldn't you really like to see Brian Abreu just stay there?
Yeah, I'd prefer that.
Yeah.
I'd 100% prefer that. But you know what? I'm not convinced it doesn't happen, actually. Because I think Espada, look at how he moves his lineup around.
Yeah.
And changes his lineup. Why not? Why not, if Abreu can pitch consistently, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, Presley has vested, so he's going to be back again next year. It's a matter of respect. It's a matter of baseball etiquette. He was the closer. He took a lesser role by going into the eighth inning. I think it's affected him. I don't know. I mean,
when you're getting paid millions, there's no such thing as baseball etiquette. You're not doing this for his feelings. You're doing it for the team.
Yeah.
Make the best. Give the team the best chance to win. Best chance to win is probably with him in fewer high leverage situations. I mean, he's going to be in plenty, but I'd rather see eighth inning be Abreu. I have much more confidence in Abreu than the numbers tell you that Abreu, the eyeballs tell you that Abreu is much better in that situation than Ryan Pressly. What's the problem here?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be. I mean, you move people up and down the lineup based on performance. It's a meritocracy in the lineup. Why not in the bullpen?
It should be. It should be. But there's a certain way that you go about this, and it's dangerous to mess with, because look at how is that why Ryan Pressly isn't as good? Is because he got demoted out of the closer role? Is he not as good because of his pitches?
I think it's a combination. I think mentally he's not. I don't think he handles adversity as well as you would want, because he is more prone to funks that last a little bit longer, and that to me is mental. But also I'd be shocked to see if the spin rate, if the way he snaps off, I think his slider, his breaking pitch, his curveball has landed in the zone in a little more hittable spots. He's doing a good job, and it seems like people are spitting on some of those out pitches that he's trying to kind of hop up there that he would get people to swing on. It doesn't seem like they go for that quite as much.
Yeah. I just think that when you're facing the Orioles in October and it's the eighth inning and you got a one run lead, it's going to be awfully difficult to watch Ryan Pressly coming in from the bullpen. It's just going to be awfully difficult. And I know, you know, there is a certain ways managers have to approach this, but if you want to do what's best for your organization and best for your team, because nobody's dumb. They see what's going on out in the field. They saw what was going on with Jose Abreu. They saw what was going on with Montero. And if it continues with Ryan Pressly, then you got to do what's best for your baseball team.
I mean, my gosh, his numbers. Holy crap.
It's bad.
Max exit velocity, he's given up a hit that was 119 miles an hour this year. 119 max exit velocity. Last year's 109.8. The year before that, 108.8. The average exit velocity of the ball off the bat this year is 90.4, but last year was 91.3.
Well, he wasn't great last year either.
No, the barrel percentage the last 2 years has been way higher than any time in his career, where they're hitting it on the barrel. The hard hit percentage has been way higher the last 2 years. Like, just everything that you would think would be the case. I haven't found the spin rate, but it's everything that you think would be the problem. The amount of soft contact hits. What we're seeing is the medium contact hits versus the hard contact. A lot more medium and soft have gravitated into hard contact from where it once was. And that's just, it's not like it's not like Ryan Pressly has been beaten by, you know, some bad luck. Ryan Pressly is just, people hit him hard. They just hit him hard. Amount of line drives is highest this year that it's been in 66, let's see, in how many games? Way fewer games, because this year he's given up 31 line drives. You got to go all the way back to 2019 where he gave up 35 line drives, but he pitched a lot more in that season. There was a lot more innings pitched, I believe. Pitch type, fastball, he's throwing 34%, but his velocity is still – his velocity's dropped.
He's throwing that slider a lot.
This velocity is the lowest it's been since he was in 2014. It's 93.9 miles an hour. Last year, 94.7. The year before, 94.5. The year before that, 95.4. 94. His fastball doesn't have as much hop, not even close to as much hop as he used to have on it. And the slider, he's only throwing the slider 1.7% of the time. The curveball, I take it back. That's sinker. Yeah, the slider's down. Last year, it was 40%. This year, it's as low as it's been as a Houston Astro, 29%.
Seems like it's every pitch.
He's thrown more changeups this year. This is the highest percentage of changeups, and it's the lowest. It's a versus curveball, it's down a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, we can look at all that stuff we want. The bottom line is people are seeing him and they're hitting him harder, and he needs to be out of that eight-hole role.
Mm-hmm.
The setup man role needs to be Brian Abreu.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you and good night.
Or Renel Blanco in the postseason.
Well, or bring in.
What about Luis Garcia?
Bring in Presley when you've got your 6, 7, 8 hitters up, or your 7, 8, 9 hitters up.
For those who missed it, by the way, Luis Garcia very quietly is going to miss this season also. So he joins Lance McCullers as Astros. I really, you know, I hope internally we're looking at this and making sure, is this normal? Why are so many pitchers getting setbacks? Like, what's going on here? Why are Astros pitchers having more ACL, more Tommy Johns, and why is their recoveries taking so long? Is this a new standard in baseball? Are we not getting to the surgeries early enough? Like, what's going on where you're missing 2 years of baseball? Because now McCullers, we know, is famously missing just a tremendous amount of time. But now we're going Luis Garcia 2 years. He had 2 games last year, and now he's going to miss all of last year and all of this year. Like, Luis Garcia was supposed to pitch this year. What happened? What was the setback? What happened? Is there anything we need to be looking at with strength and conditioning side with the Astros? You know, there are some teams in different sports and in baseball where if you have these consistent issues, they switch to different sports science. They switch to different strength and conditioning. You know, is there something going on internally that is causing this to be a big issue with the Astros? That's a real question you have to ask. Luis Garcia's not back. McCullers, I'm like, whatever. I don't know that McCullers pitches again. Luis Garcia, I thought for sure would be back this year.
Yep. 828 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, come on. We're halfway through the show. 713-780-3776.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know what we haven't even mentioned was the new University of Houston athletic director. Eddie Nunez. He was at LSU and he went to New Mexico and now he's here. You see his contract? He's getting $1 million a year.
Is that good by AD standards?
I don't know. I don't know what AD's. I think probably Alabama's and LSU's are making more, probably. But how about this? He gets a courtesy car for business use or a monthly car allowance of $1,000. He gets reimbursed from moving from Albuquerque, which is great. Initiation fees and annual dues for one mutually agreeable country club family membership.
This is all you cared about.
That's it. You get a country club membership?
Sure.
How come I don't have that in my contract?
Do you run? Todd? Do you run a college athletic program?
Todd, if that is your name.
Do you run college athletic program?
What's that?
You don't. He doesn't do that. He would be terrible at it, drunk all day.
No, the all of the donors would love me.
I'm sure
we're partying.
Which country club does he get?
We already did that with 50.
Well,
60.
I did get a country club here. I got Highland Pines.
Yeah. So what are you whining about?
Well, not the monthly dues. I don't. Let's go, Todd.
Todd.
If that is your name,
I believe that is his name. Did you see?
Would name themselves Farquharson?
Well, he doesn't control his surname.
Stop going at people's family lineage.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Dell's got something important to say.
I was going
to
mention, you mentioned the Cougs are paying their AD $1 million. Alabama's playing their football general manager $850K. That's a story now that they had to fight off other teams to keep him away. $850K for the football. Alabama's paying their football general manager $850K.
What's his name?
Football
is that Courtney?
I think that might be his name.
Yeah.
But apparently some schools came calling. Now it's a story where some guy who's like a I don't want to say glorified, but he runs their front office type stuff. And they're like, hey, $850K. They're reporting on that because apparently it was a bidding war. So the Cougs might be. So let's just put it in perspective.
Yeah, Courtney Morgan.
The Cougs are paying their AD $1 million. This guy, $850K. So I don't imagine it's at the top of the list
as
far as numbers.
That's my son's big boss. His big boss is Courtney Morgan.
That's not unusual. The football general manager makes $1 million.
Just to point to the Cougs and what they're paying, I imagine the top ADs around the country are getting more than that.
No more than that, yeah. Absolutely.
It was USC that tried to get him. Well, that's become one of the really interesting jobs is that GM position in college.
That's what Zoe had. Until he went back to the NFL.
He really didn't. or he wouldn't
well,
have left.
Mario
was just a,
yeah. You got it. GM is it's different. Like on the football side, they're in charge of the head coaches are in charge of the team, but on personnel, like you do. I mean, Courtney is talking to my son about him. You run the recruiting and you run all that stuff. It's really you're a front office personnel guy, and I think that's a really interesting job. I know a few of those guys, and it's a lot. You got to manage the portal. You've got to manage recruiting. You've got to manage some of your own players that are on the team. Now you're going to have to figure out salary cap stuff for these players. By the way, did you see the article that came out that? And we'll get to the phone calls one second. The article that came out that showed how low people are actually how low the money is for NIL right now. That the average person is making about $100 a year or whatever. And they showed, I mean, they're taking every athlete in college athletics, but it was an article that was done by Sports Illustrated that in conjunction with somebody else, it showed how low the deals actually are for NIL for players. First of all, I read this and I thought, okay, now I know the true NIL deals are lower than people think. The agents report on these crazy stuff because they want to look good. The numbers are actually lower. However, players are getting paid by these universities. They call them NIL deals. So I don't know. Like I've heard about how much quarterbacks are going for. I know the going rate for quarterbacks, and it's gone way up. We're talking, you know, a million. There's deals being done right now where it's being done on an annual year. A offensive lineman may cost $140,000. So what are we talking about? We don't have revenue sharing. This is literally like blatant cheating right now. You know this is the NCAA basically, they call it NIL, and all it is a group fund. So this article was so stupid to even come out because now people are using it. See, these players aren't getting paid. The NIL, all the players are getting paid right now.
Yeah.
All of them are. They just have to raise a bunch of money to put into the coffers to pay the players their salaries. There's salaries that they're getting paid. And agents are trying to negotiate their salaries with teams, and if they don't get what they like, they go to the portal and go try to get a bigger deal. But this idea of NIL now is being used to supplement. So you try to get an NIL deal for a player if you to supplement the other money that you're raising from your donors. The only teams that are going to really thrive with this are going to be, it's going to help to be in a really good conference like the SEC and Big Ten, obviously. But if you've got deep pockets, like Georgia and Alabama can't stand up to A&M and Texas. They don't have the depth of money, the amount of donors and the amount of high-end donors. They don't have it. They can't just whip up the money like A&M and Texas can. They have huge advantages, and they're willing to pay. Notre Dame has some. Stanford has some. But they're not willing to give, you know, they're not willing to just finance the athletic departments with blank checks. So it's college, in talking to some of these teams, they're like Georgia will tell you flat out, we got to be smart with our money. We're not just going to just write open check, you know, blank checks out. We can't do that. We got to be smart with how we do this. And Alabama, they're not just going to wallet whip everybody. They still feel like they have to evaluate talent better than the other guys.
They still got a name brand too. They still got a brand.
Yeah, yeah. No, it really helps.
8:38 ESPN 97.5.
Guess what kids care less about now? Name brand. You know what they care more about? Bags.
Yep. Yep.
Name brand doesn't carry it like it used to.
Can't buy groceries with name brand, right? Can't buy.
Have to because you have all your meals.
I want to buy. Well, you can't buy any bling. Can't buy any bling.
Yeah, no, you can't buy Lambos.
No, you can't buy Lambos. Not with name brand. No. But you can with money. What you can with money.
Yes. If you're in Texas, you don't have to buy them.
Let's get John in here. Get him. Abigail. Young Abigail on the board today. What do you say, John?
Hey, guys. Love your show. I had a theory and kind of a question on the Astros and all the injuries, specifically the pitching. You know, we've been to 7 straight ALCSs. How much of this, and I know it's a league-wide problem with pitching injuries, but how much of this is some of these guys are just tired from a shorter offseason for 7 or 8 straight years? And just, you know, stressful innings going longer into the season consistently than other teams. I know McCullers is an outlier, but, you know, Garcia played in the World Baseball Classic. These guys are pitching a lot more innings than, you know, most other teams. How much of this is just these guys are tired from a shorter offseason and playing more games than, you know, anybody else in the league for seven straight years?
I think it's a good point. I think it's a fair question. World Baseball Classic is one thing that we know that, you know, that's additional time that I think Major League, well, there's nothing Major League teams can do about it. You can't tell a player he can't play, especially Latin American players. They're all going to play for their teams, and that's that. What do you think, John? Postseason, your pitching
it probably has an effect.
Yeah,
probably
I would think
some
so.
Some effect, but I don't know. I don't know.
It takes longer to rest the arm.
Yeah, you've had a whole off. But listen, Eric Geddy hasn't been through this. Hunter Brown scuffle. He didn't even use him in the postseason last year. You know, I mean, the Kikuchi, all of these guys. I mean, is it more at bats for Alex Bregman? Is that why he's breaking? He broke down. It's because he slept wrong. Altuve's been doing this forever. I don't know. I think you got plenty of time off in between, and these guys, you know, they give their bodies a rest. I don't know. It definitely could play into it. More innings. Brian Abreu has pitched more innings than most relief. Brian Abreu still does. Brian Abreu is one of the leaders in innings this year and every year because you got to keep on putting him out there because he's so good. Could have a bit of an effect, but I don't know if I want to overstate it. It's 841 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's go over Texans cuts right now because you got one game left, and then we got to figure out a roster. The Chronicle put their cuts out there. See if you agree or disagree. Next, right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk Proximo.
Let's talk about my friends over Proximo Spirits is the company that distributes Maestro Dobel. Maestro Dobel is the tequila that is made in Tequila, Mexico. I want to focus on the Reposado for a second. Reposado is a really great tequila for an opportunity. If you like your añejo, you've had the añejo and you like mezcals, I think Reposado is one that you really need to try if you haven't tried it. And for a lot of you, you've tried it, you like it, you order it at bars or whatever. You'll get it either as a sipping tequila or you may get it as a shot. But I know this Reposado has a lot of flavor. It has a lot of body to it. And it's a tequila that I think tequila drinkers really love Reposado because it's not one of these things. It's not a drink that tries to, a tequila that tries to just smooth it out on the back end. Nice, easy. If you want some bold flavors, Reposado is going to be for you. And Maestro Dobel is going to be for you. They are the premier. They're the leaders coming out of Mexico in tequila making, and they're big in Mexico. If you ever go, you'll see them all over the place, and they're getting bigger and bigger here in the States as they market more because more people are trying them and are aware of them. And once you've had Maestro Dobel, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a great tequila. It's got a very fair price point, and it is available all over the city of Houston. If they don't have it at your favorite restaurant or liquor store, ask for it by name. It's Maestro Dobel.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Chronicle has their cuts out. Some of them a little bit surprising. They think they're going to keep two quarterbacks. No Case Keenum.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's possible if they really, really love a player at another position.
It's easy to now, the new rules allowing teams to promote a quarterback from the practice squad to the game day roster an unlimited number of times likely means most teams will carry two quarterbacks on the 53.
Yeah, but Case is a veteran. He could just quit. Like, does he want to?
Yeah.
I guess, does he want to show up every day for a practice squad salary?
Well, you can put him on the practice squad. You can't put Davis Mills on there.
Why not? Oh,
somebody
he's
pick
not
him
a
up.
Veteran. Yeah,
somebody grab him.
Well, somebody could still grab Case.
Yeah, but
you don't.
It's a lot less likely they grab Case.
Well, no, they can't just put him on practice squad. If they cut him, he's a free agent. He could go to any team.
Right. No, absolutely.
So if you cut him, he's but either going to go to a team or he's not. But my question, though, John, is his salary's not the same on practice squad.
Yeah.
So would he want to keep going? Would he want to keep the grind up when he's been around doing this forever, or would he just retire?
That's a good question. Running backs, four. Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, Dare Ogunbowale, and Cam Akers. Predicted cuts, Jawar Jordan, J.J. Taylor, British Brooks.
Okay. I think they're playing it safe. I think that they'll go cheaper with keeping Jordan. If they keep four, I think they'll keep Jordan instead of, or maybe even British Brooks. But I think they'll keep one of those backs instead of Damian Pierce, who will make a little bit more money than.
Here's what they say. There's been a lot of talk about Pierce's status on the roster from fans and other observers after rushing for only 9 yards on 8 carries, blah, blah, blah. But Pierce's spot isn't in jeopardy, just his status as the number two back. Akers just seems to have a better feel for the zone running scheme. Pierce still has value on special teams and talent as a near 1,000-yard rusher as a rookie. The toughest part will be parting ways with young players like Jordan. I don't think they get rid of Jordan. I don't. They just drafted him. I don't think you get rid of a draft pick that, especially a guy in a position that you can, I think you can be a little bit more.
1,000-yard rookie season is irrelevant. Like, that's 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Running backs run out of time quick in the NFL.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like, I can tell you, if I were running that team, he would be in some trouble on the roster. But so they got him staying there. Who else? Who else do we have? Who are we cutting?
Cutting British Brooks and J.J. Taylor.
But a wide receiver. Oh.
Okay, Andrew Beck is the only
fullback
predicted starter at fullback. Yep, that's
it. I like Troy Hairston. I thought he had a good game last game. But you can't keep
him. He's performed well in training camp and the preseason, but Beck is the incumbent, and he'll only keep one fullback. Offensive tackles, four, Tunsil, Howard, Blake Fisher, Nick Breaker.
Nick Breaker?
Yeah. David Sharp.
That guy was getting run
David
into the backfield.
David Sharp gone. Charlie Heck, IR.
I think they keep three tackles.
Well, it depends. Can Breaker play other positions, too? That's a question.
Yeah, he's a guard. I don't know why they're playing him a tackle. He's a guard at Ole Miss.
Well, then maybe he can. We're using him outside.
But this is why they also had Kenyon Green taking snaps out there.
Yeah.
Because if Kenyon Green can take some snaps out there, then let's look at him. Because Kendrick Green can play. So both Kendrick and Kenyon will make it. Patterson will make it. Juice will make it. Shaq Mason will make it. Who do they have as the other guard?
At guard, they've got Kenyon Green, Shaq Mason, Kendrick Green. Cuts will be Cam Irving and Chris Reed.
Yeah,
that's
Cam Irving.
That's three.
Cam
and Breaker can swing. I could certainly see that.
Maybe Breaker at guard.
Yeah, he can swing.
I can see. No, the swing is Blake Fisher.
I mean, he can swing both plays.
Well, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble if you're playing him at tackle.
And you got Killian Zierer, an international player.
No good.
He doesn't count against the roster. So
great, he doesn't get on the roster.
Well,
he will get you murdered. That guy was not good yesterday when I was watching.
Well, Juice Scruggs and Jared Patterson at center.
Yep. Tight ends, I'm going to guess three or four tight ends.
Tight ends, they have.
Tell me if there's three or four, and I'll know if Katoriano made it.
The tight ends, they have three.
Okay, so he got cut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably Brevin Jordan stays in. Oh, I could see Jordan getting cut, too.
Why?
And Katoriano staying.
Why Brevin Jordan?
I don't know.
I think Brevin Jordan makes it. Brevin, I think, is kind of a lock, actually. And then Cade Stover for sure, and Dalton Schultz for sure. Three.
Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, John Metchie, Noah Brown, and Steven Sims. Predicted cuts are Woods, Hutchinson, Johnny Johnson, and Quintez Cephas.
Well, the battle is going to be between Sims, a special teams player, and Hutchinson. I think Hutchinson makes it over Sims. Because
Sims returns kicks.
He returns kicks, but it's easier to find it. But who's going to run the jet sweep?
Well, that is
Hutchinson
true.
Is the official jet sweep
they
guy.
They love the
he
jet
also
sweep.
Blocks on the outside in the running game when
they
he's
love
in. He's a
the
bigger
jet
body.
Sweep.
They love jet sweep with Hutchinson.
Yep.
Love it.
They've got, whatever reason, they've got an asterisk next to, maybe because they'll put him on the practice squad. I guess Hutchinson could go on the practice squad. We'll see. Hutchinson and Cephas could go on the practice squad. They got Ben Skowronek as an IR candidate. Yeah, I could see them. I don't see Skowronek probably making the team, but I could certainly see where they wouldn't want to get rid of him, put him on the IR for a while.
Yeah, he's the guy that you want on the team.
Yep. Defensive ends, 5. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, Derek Barnett, Jerry Hughes, and Ali Gay. Predicted cuts, Solomon Bird, Feldarius Payne, suspension, Danico Autry, non-football illness, Dylan Horton. So he will be on that list. Defensive tackles, 4, Foley, Mario Edwards, Khalil Davis, Marcus Harris. Predicted cuts, McTelvin, Akeem, and Kurt Heinisch. Although Heinisch, I guess, they'll push him to the practice squad. IR candidate, Tim Settle. Yeah, Settle just hasn't done anything. Hasn't been around. Linebackers, Aziz, Henry Toto, Jake Hansen. Depth, Neville Hewitt, Delshawn Phillips, and Jamal Hill. Predicted cuts, Tariq Barnes, Maxwell Tooley, and IR candidate Christian Harris.
Did you see what Aziz Al-Shaair said?
Yeah.
Yesterday? You see what he said?
No, yeah, he was...
It was something like... It was something very ominous. Like, basically, you're not tough enough to play with us, probably. You know, in all likelihood, if you're not ready to... Like, it was something really ominous. I'll see if I can find it. But I get the feeling he is not one to trifle with. I don't think... And we've heard other players talk about the fact that he lets you know in no uncertain terms that he's not a big fan of any tomfoolery. So I think there's a reason the Texans went after him. I'm going to see if I can find exactly what he said, but man, it was aggressive. It was aggressive and basically talked about the Texans' culture. What they believe the culture is an ass-kicking culture.
Yeah. He brings that. Yeah. Somebody did a long piece. Was it our guy from here, Bieniemy? He did a long piece, and I think it was in that.
It probably was. Yeah, it was. Because no, it was. Yeah. DJ, yes, it was a quote that DJ Bieniemy had from his article.
Cornerbacks, 5, Stingley, Lassiter, Okuda, Desmond King, and D'Angelo Ross, with Chris Boyd on the practice squad, cutting Miles Bryant and C.J. Henderson along with Mike Ford. This is I'm not sure that it ends up that way. Jeff Okuda, we'll see. Mike Ford didn't have the best game the other day. We'll see. Safety, 5. Jalen Petrie, Jimmy
see,
Ward.
Got an extension?
Yeah.
Jimmy Ward got an extension yesterday. Does that surprise you?
A little bit. I mean, be on the field. Wouldn't it be great if he...
I was a little surprised.
Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, Eric Murray, Lonnie Johnson Jr., and Kalen Bullock. They'll lose MJ Stewart and Brandon Hill. That's interesting. Because MJ Stewart's been around a bunch. So to see him lose him, they think Brandon Hill will go to the practice squad. Kymie Fairbairn, Tommy Townsend, and John Weeks. Nothing surprising there. Practice squad candidates, J.J. Taylor, Jawar Jordan, Tim Boyle, Chris Boyd, Brandon Hill, Maxwell Tooley, McTelvin Akeem, Solomon Bird, Dalton Keene, Dieter Eiselin, Xavier Hutchinson, Chris Reed, Quintez Cephas, Feldarius Payne, Kurt Heinisch, and Troy Hairston. That is a possibility. Some guys, some pretty good players getting cut. That's a good sign.
It is a good sign.
No.
It's weird to hear you say that.
No.
But you're right. It is a good sign.
It's a good sign that you're moving in the right direction when you have really tough decisions and good football players. Players in italics are rookies. Players with asterisks candidates for the practice squad. So, that's what we were doing. So, interesting list. Yeah, I would change a few things.
I would, too.
We'll see. I don't know that their running back situation is correct. We'll see. That they're out there every day, though. I don't know. And maybe they have some insight with the coaching staff. I doubt it, though. Cuts are always – there's always surprise cuts, always. So we'll find out whether or not that's the case. We've got one more game, then a week off, and then the football season is here, brother. Let's go. It is fun. It is time.
You count week zero? I mean, we got college football this. I told we're not going to start with five-star until next week, and I'm still working on Phil Steele. Josh Pate's going to start for sure with us next week. And so Josh Pate will be with us every week talking some college football. I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Good. Yeah, can't wait for Josh Pate. He's awesome. Josh Pate every week, what, every Thursday?
I think we're doing Wednesdays.
Okay. Let's talk right now about Doc Manavisa again. Somebody asked me, well, where does the IV go, in a bad place? And the answer is no, it doesn't go in a bad place.
Who asked you that?
One of our silly listeners. And he said, and here's the deal, is so you, if you have an enlarged prostate, you could have surgery with another doctor, which is one of the worst things that you'll ever do in your life. The most painful and terrible things you'll ever do in your life is get surgery for an enlarged prostate, when you can just get an IV that will take care of that prostate and make you not go to the bathroom as much, not have urinary tract infections, not have liver problems, kidney problems. All of these things can happen if you've got an enlarged prostate. But if you go with Doc Manavis, you get an IV that takes care of that. And that's it. About 45 minutes in the chair, and she's going to put the IV in the groin area, but not in the really bad place. So here's the deal, is if you're looking for the best way to take care of an enlarged prostate, to me, there's only one place to go. Period. You go to 975prostate.com. Don't get surgery. 975prostate.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.